Chapter 2. Electricity and Disease. The earliest electricians were not technicians who installed wires in houses. They were physicians and healers who used the newly discovered phenomena of electric current and static electricity to treat people with ailments, from deafness to headaches to paralysis. The only problem with having patients touch Leyden jars, a device that stores a high-voltage electric charge, or subject themselves to electric currents was that it sometimes caused harm and occasionally killed them. One thing these early electrical experimenters noted was that people showed a range of sensitivity to electricity. According to Alexander von Humboldt, a Prussian scientist who, among other experiments, subjected himself and others to the shocks of electric eels, it is observed that susceptibility to electrical irritation and electrical conductivity differs as much from one individual to another, as the phenomena of living matter differ from those of dead material. These early studies captured the imagination of researchers. They began to realize that electric currents ran through the bodies of frogs and humans and that even plants were sensitive to electrical phenomena. After a 1749 earthquake in London, British physician William Stukeley concluded that electricity must play a role in earthquakes because the residents of London felt pains in their joints, rheumatism, sickness, headache, pain in their back, hysteric and nervous disorders. Exactly upon electrification, and to some it has proved fatal. As early as 1799, researchers puzzled over the cause of influenza, which appeared suddenly, often in diverse places at the same time, and could not be explained by contagion. In 1836, Heinrich Schweik, author of a book on influenza, noted that all physiological processes produce electricity and theorized that an electrical disturbance of the atmosphere may prevent the body from discharging it. He repeated the then common belief that the accumulation of electricity in the body causes the symptoms of influenza. With the discovery of the sun's electrical nature, scientists have made some interesting observations. The period 1645-1715 is one that astronomers call the Maunder Minimum. When the sun was quiet, astronomers observed no sunspots during the time span, and the northern lights, aurora borealis, were non-existent. In 1715, sunspots reappeared, as did the northern lights. Sunspot activity then increased, reaching a high in 1727. In 1728, influenza appeared in waves on every continent. Sunspot activities became more violent until they peaked in 1738, when physicians reported flu in both man and animals, including dogs, horses, and birds, especially sparrows. By some estimates, 2 million people perished during the 10-year pandemic. These and other facts about the relationship of influenza to disturbances in electricity come from a remarkable book, The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg. Furstenberg chronicles the history of electricity in the United States and throughout the world, and the outbreaks of illness that accompanied each step toward greater electrification. The first stage involved the installation of telegraph lines. By 1875, these formed a spiderweb over the Earth totaling 700,000 miles, with enough copper wire to encircle the globe almost 30 times. With it came a new disease called neurasthenia. Like those suffering today from chronic fatigue syndrome, patients felt weak and exhausted and were unable to concentrate. They had headaches, dizziness, tinnitus, floaters in the eyes, racing pulse, pains in the heart region, and palpitations. They were depressed and had panic attacks. Dr. George Miller Beard and the medical community observed that the disease spread along the routes of railroads and telegraph lines. It often resembled the common cold or influenza and commonly seized people in the prime of life. In 1889, we mark the beginning of the modern electrical era and also of a deadly flu pandemic, which followed the advent of electricity throughout the globe. Said Furstenberg, influenza struck explosively and unpredictably, over and over in waves until early 1894. It was as if something fundamental had changed in the atmosphere. Physicians puzzled over influenza's capricious spread. For example, William Beveridge, author of a 1975 textbook on influenza, noted, the English warship Arachne was cruising off the coast of Cuba, without any contact with land. No less than 114 men out of a crew of 149 fell ill with influenza, and only later was it learnt that there had been outbreaks in Cuba at the same time. During World War I, governments on both sides of the conflict installed antennas, which eventually blanketed the Earth with strong radio signals, and during the latter part of 1918, disaster struck. The Spanish flu afflicted a third of the world's population and killed about 50 million people, more than the Black Death of the 14th century. To stop the contagion, communities shut down schools, businesses, and theaters. People were ordered to wear masks and refrain from shaking hands. Those living on military bases, which bristled with antennas, were the most vulnerable. A common symptom was bleeding, from the nostrils, gums, ears, skin, stomach, intestines, uterus, kidneys, and brain. Many died of hemorrhage in the lungs, drowning in their own blood. Tests revealed a decreased ability of the blood to coagulate. Those close to death often developed that peculiar blue color which seemed to mark all early fatal cases. Health officials were desperate to find a cause. The team of physicians from the U.S. Public Health Service tried to infect their 100 healthy volunteers at a naval facility on Gallops Island in Boston Harbor. A sense of frustration pervades the report, written by Milton J. Rosenow, M.D., and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Rosenow had built a successful career in public health by instilling a fear of germs, overseeing quarantines, and warning the public about the dangers of raw milk. He believed that something called Pfeiffer bacillus was the cause. The researchers carefully extracted throat and nasal mucus and even lung material from cadavers and transferred it to the throats, respiratory tracts, and noses of volunteers. "We used some billions of these organisms, according to our estimated counts, on each one of the volunteers, but none of them took sick," he said. Then they drew blood from those who were sick and injected it into 10 volunteers. None of these took sick in any way. Thoroughly perplexed, Rosenow and the other researchers designed the next experiment, to imitate the natural way in which influenza spreads, at least the way in which we believe influenza spreads, and I have no doubt it does, even though his experiments showed that it doesn't, by human contact. They instructed those afflicted to breathe and cough over volunteers. The volunteer was led up to the bedside of the patient. He was introduced. He sat down alongside the bed of the patient. They shook hands, and by instructions, he got as close as he conveniently could, and they talked for 5 minutes. At the end of the 5 minutes, the patient breathed out as hard as he could, while the volunteer, muzzle to muzzle, in accordance with his instructions, about 2 inches between the two, received this expired breath, and at the same time was breathing in as the patient breathed out. This they repeated 5 times. The volunteers were watched carefully for 7 days, but alas, none of them took sick in any way. "Perhaps," said Rosenow, "there are factors, or a factor, in the transmission of influenza that we do not know. Perhaps if we have learned anything, it is that we are not quite sure what we know about the disease." Researchers even tried to infect healthy horses with the mucus secretions of horses with the flu. Yes, animals also became ill during the pandemic, but the results were the same. The Spanish flu was not contagious, and physicians could attach no blame to the accused bacterium nor provide an explanation for its global reach. The year 1957 marked the installation of radar worldwide. The Asian influenza pandemic began in February 1957 and lasted for a year. A decade later, the United States launched 28 satellites into the Van Allen belts as part of the Initial Defense Communication Satellite Program, IDCSP, ushering in the Hong Kong flu pandemic, which began in July 1968. As Furstenberg observed, in each case, in 1889, 1918, 1957 and 1968, the electrical envelope of the Earth was suddenly and profoundly disturbed, and along with it the electrical circuits in the human body. Western medicine pays scant attention to the electrical nature of living things, plants, animals, and humans, but mountains of evidence indicate that faint currents govern everything that happens in the body to keep us alive and healthy. From the coagulation of the blood to energy production in the mitochondria, even to small amounts of copper in the bones, which create currents for the maintenance of bone structure, all can be influenced by the presence of electricity in the atmosphere, especially dirty electricity, characterized by many overlapping frequencies and jagged changes in frequency and voltage. Today we know that each cell in the body has its own electrical grid, maintained by structured water inside the cell membrane, see Chapter 8. Cancer occurs when this structure breaks down, and cancer has increased with each new development in the electrification of the Earth. Humankind has lived for thousands of years with our brains tuned to the Schumann resonances of the Earth, our bodies and indeed all life bathed in a static electric field of 130 volts per meter. The electronic symphony that gives us life is soft and delicate. Minute electrical currents that course through leaf veins or through the glial cells in our nervous system guide the growth and metabolism of all life forms. Our cells communicate in whispers in the radio frequency range. Traditional Chinese medicine has long recognized the electrical nature of the human body and has developed a system to diffuse the accumulation of electricity that leads to disease. It's called acupuncture. Many things that we do instinctively also help release any unhealthy buildup of current. The mother who strokes her infant's head or who scratches her children's backs to put them to sleep, the caresses of lovers, walking barefoot on the earth, massage, even handshakes and hugs, all now discouraged by the frowny faces of health authorities. Fast forward to the internet and cell phone era. According to Furstenberg, the onset of cell phone service in 1996 resulted in greater levels of mortality in major cities like Los Angeles, New York, San Diego, and Boston. Over the years, wireless signals at multiple frequencies have filled the atmosphere to a greater and greater extent, along with mysterious outbreaks like SARS and MERS. Today, the quiet hum of life-giving current is infiltrated by a jangle of overlapping and jarring frequencies, from power lines to the fridge to the cell phone. It started with the telegraph and progressed to worldwide electricity, then radar, then satellites that disrupt the ionosphere, then ubiquitous Wi-Fi. The most recent addition to this disturbing racket is fifth-generation wireless, 5G. 5G is broadcast in a range of microwave frequencies, mostly 24 to 72 GHz, with the range of 700 to 2,500 MHz also considered 5G. Frequencies in this range below the frequency of light are called non-ionizing, in contrast with ionizing radiation, which has a higher frequency than light. Ionizing radiation, such as X-rays, causes electrons to split off atoms, obviously something to which exposure must be limited. This is why a lead shield is put on patients when they get X-rays. Instead of producing charged ions when passing through matter, non-ionizing electromagnetic radiation changes the rotational, vibrational, and electronic valence configurations of molecules and atoms. This produces thermal effects, think microwave ovens. The telecommunications industry flatly denies any non-thermal effects on living tissue, even though a large body of research suggests considerable harm to the delicate electromagnetic systems in the human body from constant exposure to non-ionizing frequencies. In particular, high-frequency electromagnetic fields like 5G affect cell membrane permeability, not a good thing when the architecture of a healthy cell ensures that it is not permeable except in controlled situations. We are already familiar with millimeter wave technology. This is the frequency of airport scanners, which can see through your clothes. Children and pregnant women are not required to go through these scanners, a nod to potential dangers. Adults get zapped a second or two. 5G bathes us in the same kind of radiation 24/7. Of particular concern is the fact that some 5G transmitters broadcast at 60 GHz, a frequency that is absorbed by oxygen, causing the oxygen molecule composed of two oxygen atoms to split apart, making it useless for respiration. On September 26, 2019, 5G wireless was turned on in Wuhan, China, and officially launched November 1, with a grid of about 10,000 5G base stations, more than exist in the entire United States, all concentrated in one city. A spike in cases occurred on February 13, the same week that Wuhan turned on its 5G network for monitoring traffic. Illness has followed 5G installation in all the major cities in America, starting with New York in fall 2019 in Manhattan, along with parts of Brooklyn, the Bronx, and Queens, all subsequent coronavirus hotspots. Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Dallas, Cleveland, and Atlanta soon followed, with some 5,000 towns and cities now covered. Citizens of the small country of San Marino, the first country in the world to install 5G, in September 2018, have had the longest exposure to 5G and the highest infection rate, four times higher than Italy, which deployed 5G in June 2019, and 27 times higher than Croatia, which has not deployed 5G. In rural areas, the illness blamed on the coronavirus is slight to non-existent. In Europe, illness is highly correlated with 5G rollout. For example, Milan and other areas in northern Italy have the densest 5G coverage, and northern Italy has 22 times as many coronavirus cases as Rome. In Switzerland, telecommunications companies have built more than 2,000 antennas, but the Swiss have halted at least some of the 5G rollout due to health concerns. Switzerland has had far fewer coronavirus cases than nearby France, Spain, and Germany, where 5G is going full steam ahead. Iran announced an official 5G launch in late March 2020, but assuming pre-launch testing in February, the advent of 5G correlates with the first COVID cases at the same time. Korea has installed over 70,000 5G bases and reported over 8,000 cases of illness by mid-March. Japan began testing 5G in tunnels in Hokkaido in early February 2020, and this city now has the most cases of coronavirus in Japan, even more than Tokyo. In South America, the 5G rollout has occurred in Brazil, Chile, Ecuador, and Mexico, all of which have many coronavirus cases. Countries without 5G, such as Guyana, Suriname, French Guiana, and Paraguay have not reported any cases. Paraguay is doing what all countries should do, building a national fiber optics network without resorting to 5G. Bartomeu Pereira's Cipher, a Spanish epidemiologist, has charted the rollout of 5G in European cities and countries with cases per 1,000 people and demonstrated a clear and close relationship between the rate of coronavirus infections and 5G antenna location. What about COVID-19 in the Amazon basin? The Pan American Health Organization, PAHO, estimates that there are at least 20,000 active coronavirus cases among the indigenous peoples. They live a primitive lifestyle, but 5G is already there, along with 25 enormously powerful surveillance radars, 10 Doppler weather radars, 200 floating water monitoring stations, 900 radio-equipped listening posts, 32 radio stations, 8 airborne state-of-the-art surveillance jets equipped with fog-penetrating radar, and 99 attack trainer support aircraft, all of which can track individual human beings and hear a twig snap anywhere in the Amazon. These were installed in 2002 as part of the System for Vigilance of the Amazon, SIVAM, which monitors activities in a 2 million square mile area of remote wilderness. All life in the Amazon is bathed with a range of electromagnetic frequencies. These 5G frequencies go only a short distance and cannot penetrate into buildings. However, a few tech startups are working to get the 5G signal into the areas where we work, play, and sleep. Pivotal Comware is testing an Echo 5G in building penetration device. Pivotal's offices are about 1 mile from the Life Care Nursing Home in Kirkland, Washington, where the illness first appeared in the United States, and where 25 residents died. Was the Life Care Center a testing ground for Pivotal's new device? Healthcare facilities also teem with electronic equipment, some of it located right by the heads of sick patients. People who suffer from electrical hypersensitivity cannot go near many hospitals and nursing homes. The 5G system is also installed on modern cruise ships. For example, the Diamond Princess cruise ship advertises the best Wi-Fi at sea. On February 3, 2020, the ship was quarantined in Yokohama, Japan after many passengers complained of illness. In the end, 381 passengers and crew members became sick, and 14 died. Of interest is the fact that the military has crowd control devices that operate in the same ranges, 6 to 100 GHz. The 95 GHz active denial system is a weapon that can penetrate the skin and produce intolerable heating sensations, causing people to move away from the beam. The Europa EMF Guideline 2016 states, there is strong evidence that long-term exposure to certain EMFs is a risk factor for diseases such as certain cancers, Alzheimer's disease, and male infertility. Common EHS electromagnetic hypersensitivity symptoms include headaches, concentration difficulties, sleep problems, depression, lack of energy, fatigue, and flu-like symptoms. An article published in May 2020 in Toxicology Letters found that in real-world conditions, exposure to wide-spectrum non-ionizing frequencies adversely impacted skin, eyes, heart, liver, kidney, spleen, blood, and bone marrow. Electromagnetic frequencies also disturb the immune function through stimulation of various allergic and inflammatory responses, and they adversely affect tissue repair. The Russians studied the effects of millimeter waves on animals and humans in 1979. Workers servicing ultra-high-frequency generators complained of fatigue, drowsiness, headaches, and loss of memory. The blood was particularly affected, with a reduction in the amount of hemoglobin and a tendency toward hypercoagulation. Even earlier, in 1971, the U.S. Naval Medical Research Institute published more than 2,300 references in a bibliography of reported biological phenomena, effects, and clinical manifestations attributed to microwave and radio frequency radiation. They found adverse effects almost everywhere in the body. In addition to generalized degeneration of all body tissue, they noted altered sex ratio of births, more girls, altered fetal development, decreased lactation in nursing mothers, seizures, convulsions, anxiety, thyroid enlargement, decreased testosterone production, and, of particular interest, sparking between dental fillings and a peculiar metallic taste in the mouth. One research review of almost 200 studies noted, non-thermal effects have been clearly demonstrated in thousands of peer-reviewed publications. Whereas some EMF frequency band patterns are coherent and may be health-promoting, the chosen 5G frequencies belong for a great part to the detrimental zones. The authors noted that government studies claiming 5G safety have taken no account of the fact that 5G radiation can be pulsating and modulated and emitted from multiple antennas. Of interest is the finding that EMF waves can also be circularly polarized by interaction with atmospheric dust and therefore may penetrate much deeper into the organism. In addition, 5G waves may exhibit interference with other EMF wave frequencies, resulting in standing waves and environmental hot spots of radiation that can be very taxing on EMF hypersensitive individuals. Air pollution and 5G are not a good mix. A study published in Frontiers in Oncology describes lung injury from radiation therapy. Radiation therapy uses shorter waves at close range for a shorter period of time, but it stands to reason that 5G millimeter waves, with transmitters nearby, pulsing massive amounts of frequency at all times, could also cause lung injury. According to the authors, depending on the dose and volume of lung irradiated, acute radiation pneumonitis may develop, characterized by dry cough and dyspnea, shortness of breath. Of interest is the fact that Lloyd's of London and other insurance carriers won't cover injury from cell phones, Wi-Fi, or smart meters. EMFs are classified as a pollutant, alongside smoke, chemicals, and asbestos. The electromagnetic fields exclusion, exclusion 32, is a general insurance exclusion and is applied across the market as standard. The purpose of the exclusion is to exclude cover for illnesses caused by continuous, long-term non-ionizing radiation exposure, i.e. through mobile phone usage. According to Dr. Cameron Kyle Seidel, working in an emergency room in New York, the afflicted are literally gasping for air. "We've never seen anything like it," he said. COVID patients' symptoms resemble those of high-altitude sickness rather than viral pneumonia. In fact, the ventilators that the hospitals have scrambled to obtain may do more harm than good and may be accounting for the high mortality rate, as they increase pressure on the lungs. These patients don't need help breathing, they need more oxygen when they take a breath. Many turn blue in the face. These are not signs of a contagious disease but of disruption of our mechanisms for producing energy and getting oxygen to the red blood cells. Remember that during the Spanish flu, the problem was the lack of blood coagulability. With COVID-19, a key problem is lack of oxygen in the blood. Both conditions point to electrical toxicity rather than infection. Iron-rich blood cells would be especially vulnerable to the effects of electromagnetism. And there's another symptom, fizzing. Many COVID patients report strange buzzing sensations throughout their body, an electric feeling on the skin, or skin that feels like it is burning. Those who are electrically sensitive report similar sensations when they are near a cell phone or use GPS-guided cruise control in their cars. Other symptoms include a loss of smell and taste, fever, aches, breathlessness, fatigue, dry cough, diarrhea, strokes, and seizures, all of which are also reported by those who are electrically sensitive. The correlation of 5G rollout in COVID-19 cases, and the similarity of symptoms, should give us pause. Shouldn't we look more closely before we institute mandatory vaccination and electronic ID chipping? Shouldn't we test to see whether this virus is actually contagious before we mandate social distancing and prescribe face masks? Today's pandemic raises many questions. What makes some people more vulnerable than others to the effects of 5G? Why did 35 sailors on the battleship Arachne not get sick? Which environmental factors weaken our defenses? How should we treat this disease if it is not a viral disease? What about our diets? Can we protect ourselves with the right food choices? We will address these questions in subsequent chapters. Most important, we will show that the minute particles called viruses are actually exosomes, not invaders but toxin-gobbling messengers that our cells produce to help us adjust to environmental assaults, including electrosmog. After all, most people have adjusted to worldwide radio waves, electricity in their homes, and ubiquitous Wi-Fi, and the sparrow population rebounded after the flu of 1738. Exosomes are what allow this to happen. These tiny messengers provide real-time and rapid genetic adaptation to environmental changes. Whether these exosomes can help us adapt to the extreme disruption of 5G is the question of the day.